and all of the family. Looks like we need to rewrite textbooks in respect of climates, etc., etc., because climates are no more what they used to be. And so we've seen some good rains, storms, and so on in some provinces. We've even seen good storms in Gauteng. I've never seen a storm in Gauteng myself. Hello, Robson. But we've seen good storms in Gauteng, in the Eastern Cape, in Limpopo. I'm sure there are huge storms that are coming to the Western Cape when the period comes. And so having then welcomed my colleagues, you know what we need to do? Let's then look at the negotiation mandates that we have quickly. And thereafter, we allow National Treasury and DPLG to give us a feedback on their, not a war of attrition, a war of words, I suspect. Just misunderstanding here and there. Because I suspect their first language is not English, all of them. And so the problem, therefore, between them is English. Some of them were taught in these other schools and so they don't really, it's kind of semantic, I suspect. Not a big deal. One day they would resolve these things. And maybe we must reduce them to some of your languages sometimes. But I hear there's also a proposal. I don't know what the proposal is. We'll hear what they've got to say. I also have received a National Treasury and DPLG have received this thing. It's a letter from SALGA Free State, wherein they are, I'm not sure what is the basis of what of this thing. They are worried about the allocations and so on and so on. But then, having then said that, at least there is breakfast, Robs. We have got a good Samaritan who's providing for breakfast and lunch all of a sudden. You remember we did not have lunch for some time. And so all of a sudden we're having some lunch and breakfast, which is good. Let's also welcome Madam Chun. We're not going to be long. Let's hear what the WASCAP has to say, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm a bit slow this morning. The Northern Cape burnt my brains. Chair, mandate of the committee. The committee supports the bill and wish to confer the following mandates. There is a need to develop a clear policy on land disposal as municipalities are more inclined to selling land to private developers more than to the government, and this affects spending money allocated for housing delivery. The process of accreditation of municipalities for housing must be speeded up. There is a need for a consideration of MIG equitable formula rather basing it on an outdated 2001 census and instead factors such as prevalence of poverty, location, level of unemployment and education, among others, must also be taken into account. 3.4, it is proposed that historical backlogs be taken into account so that the poor municipalities, especially from the homelands, may be assisted to be on par with others. Circumstances specific to each municipality are not taken into account when the municipal systems improvement grant and financial management grant are allocated. Although all the new conditional grants are welcome, we are of the view that the overload control grant should be brought forward to the 2009-10 financial year, taking into account the infrastructure of our roads. It is proposed that the local government data collection forum referred to on page 71 be decentralized to provinces. Although the province welcomes the favorable responses from the government on the FFC submissions, it is proposed that timelines be attached to the responses that the permanent delegate of the Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature represent the province of the Eastern Cape at the meeting of the final mandate and vote for the adoption of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Brown, can you just respond to all or some of the issues?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Mr. Robertson. On land disposal, there is a clear policy and it's covered in the MFMA. What I will do is I'll just ask the Chief Director responsible for MFMA to forward you with a clear-cut policy around it. There is clear, they must advertise. It's a very transparent process that is already in place. On accreditation, I think we have responded to that when we did the briefing, that the powers and functions DPLG must just sort it out and speed it up, because it is part of how it will evolve basically out of there. Cabinet said it must be dealt with within that ambit there. On the MIG formula, you are right, and it's not only for the MIG formula, by the way. It is for the local government equitable share formula as well, that we need to speed up, sort out the data issues. With the 2007 community survey, it is the most recent data, but unfortunately it's a survey based on 300,000 household samples, and which is a very kind of limited sample. So we are in the process of digging more into that survey with Stats SA. We may actually use it for the next round of allocations there. So thanks for that. We are looking into that. On historical backlogs, there's something else that must happen, actually, with these backlogs. If one looks at it, Mr. Robertson, and it links to the point that you've made, actually, at the hearing where you said a lot of the MIG money is used for salaries and all of these kinds of things. So you would think that we spend so much money on MIG over a period of time. Surely, do we have a handle of the backlog itself? By now, we should have made a big dent on it. Are we monitoring it properly? Not only MIG, by the way, as all of the other grants, whether it's water operating subsidies, whether it's housing and all of that. So are we really making headway on it? And I think we need to actually come back to the committee at some point just to give a sense of what is the status of backlogs in general in the country. We agree with you on that one there. On 3.5, it would really be difficult if one thinks the size of municipal systems improvement grant is it about 200 million, and what DPLG is trying to do is to look into specific areas within municipalities. What needs to happen on this? You've got the municipal systems improvement grant. You've got the financial management grant that the Treasury's got. You've got Project Consolidate, you've got CN Zamanje, you've got so many capacity building initiatives that are taking place within these municipalities. And at some point, one also is of the opinion that we're duplicating quite a lot of the work there. At the end of the day, some consultants are just getting wealthier out of this. And we need to really streamline this, because then you also find within the Treasury, the Office of the Accountant General is also doing a bit of work on capacity building. And what we're saying is we actually really need to do that speedily. And I think I'll convey to the Office of the Accountant General this particular message, that we must set a deadline where we come with a proposal on how we're going to deal with capacity building, particularly as it relates to financial management there. On 3.6, the overload, Ed can talk to 3.6. He passes me a note. I was going to say something, but he's so excited here. He wants to talk about it. On local government data collection and your proposal to provincial treasuries, now that one is even far more important. Provincial treasuries have got a particular role, oversight responsibility over municipalities there. And we need to find a way of using provincial treasuries to be actually a conduit of managing data there. So that kind of representation, you are right, it will be to the benefit of for us. But to decentralize the responsibility, it may be a bit tricky, because it will have to be the overall management of it will have to be central. But we need to use provinces, in my view, to be able to deal with the data requirements and that. On the timelines, I remember the Honourable Chair was very tough on the Deputy Chair of the FFC when he spoke about this timelines thing. I think what the Deputy Chair was saying, he said, you know, government always agree to these recommendations, but does government ever do something about it? And this is your point, I think. And we need to then have some kind of a schedule where we, on a continuous basis, either through the explanatory memorandum, give an update that says, we said learner transport, there's the responsibilities with education, there's a policy that's being developed. We need to then give an update to say this is how far we are with it. And I think that is what you're also now talking about. That is very important. Thanks for supporting the bill, Honourable Member. You'll just touch on the overload part of it, with your permission, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. On the overload control grant, a couple of things. The major focus of the grant is at this time on spending on way bridges for trucks in terms of controlling the load and things like that coming from mines and other very important industrial areas. And obviously the way in which the money was split up over the time is a determination of the infrastructure nature of the grant. In other words, if a province is not ready to spend on the big sort of infrastructure type spending, because it's asset creation effectively, or some sort of refurbishment, then the Department of Transport obviously felt in the way that they dispersed the funds that certain provinces were more ready than others. And so it's as we understand it, it's a simple matter of the readiness of the province to actually expend on the infrastructure of it.
Anything from you guys, DPLG? Anything? Just proceed.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of data, we as DPLG are busy with an initiative called the Data Maintenance Protocol, which is spearheaded by Stats SA with DPLG as well as sector departments, and we are looking at possibly publishing data on an annual basis to actually assist the process of ensuring the eradication of backlogs, particularly in those poor areas that you have indicated. We are also busy with an initiative of the comprehensive infrastructure plans, where we are looking at a local space and looking at all the infrastructure needs in that particular space, your bulk, your reticulation, etc., and getting a sense of how much that total infrastructure need is, even including operations and maintenance and so on. So that will begin to inform the MTEC processes that when we go and engage with National Treasury to really give the true reflection of infrastructure needs on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think to add in terms of what my colleague also has indicated, this issue of separating the historical backlog, particularly what we call the pre-94 and the post-94, I think it's becoming crucial because, I mean, a number of provinces, particularly those ones that had, you know, former homeland, I think the characteristics that you're talking about, a lot of houses, a lot of settlements that have been there, but they were neglected. There's no infrastructure. And through this process of the CIP, we are trying to streamline. And I think by around June, when we go to National Treasury, we will be talking with the information that we will be having to say this is the pre-94, and this much. This is how much it will cost to deal with that, and also the pre-94, which you get mostly in Free State, in terms of the post-94, because people were retrenched from farms and they come to nearby towns, then they started building shacks and all those issues. So those are the issues that we currently looking through this process of trying to get to know the infrastructure. And of course, Chair, what we are going to do, because when we started discussing the issue of differentiated approach, we were trying to look at municipalities differently, looking also at the characteristics of the backlogs that they have. So that when we talk about funding for those municipalities, we should be addressing the real challenges that are facing
facing those municipalities. And I think that is an ongoing discussion, which obviously, when we come to the new DORA, we may be coming with some final issues there.
Okay. Rops, happy? Okay. Any issue from the Eastern Cape negotiating mandate that you think is not clearly covered? I think for the first time the Eastern Cape has, because all the time it has always been complaining. We're happy that you really have raised these very critical issues. Okay, that's right. The Free Province has one line. Portfolio Committee on Finance of the Premier and Legislature, as designated by the Free State Legislature, votes in favor of the bill. No discussion, nothing. Any issues? Colleagues on the Free State, anything?
No.
Okay. Let's then take the Smart Province, Mr. Sopo.
Good morning, Chairperson, colleagues and Comrade Danny. Now, Chairperson, I think that the mandate from the Smart Province, as you call it, is clear that there are a number of issues that have been raised, but I think that they seem like more of comments than what you can. I'm sorry? Okay. Amendments. The committee notes that the following amendments have been effected, blah, blah, blah. Readability, expanded public wealth program. In fact, Gauteng says conditional grant to incentivize provinces and municipalities to create additional employment. I think in Gauteng, oh, you can't. Okay.
KZN?
Mandate of the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Legislature. The Provincial Standing Committee on National Council of Provinces matters met today, Friday, 27th of February, 2009, and agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the division of the revenue bill. No discussion.
Okay. That's it. Any issue? KZN? Mr. Rogan?
No,
we still are saying any issues, KZN? No discussion. Thank you.
Chair, yes, on the last with our people. Now, the findings, the bill is constitutional, the bill reintroducted a number of few conditional grants outlined above. Conclusion, Chair, that the permanent delegates is negotiated in favor of the bill to be passed in law, and that is.
Mm-hmm. Anything on that, Mbobo? No questions. No discussion. No objection. Thank you.
Okay.
Mpumalanga, Portfolio Committee met, and pursuant to the briefing, the committee undertook public hearings on that day. Public views or comments on the national budget were also solicited from members of the public through an advertisement. After consideration of the bill, the committee made the following proposal: ensure that the fuel levy benefit should be revisited so that it can be applicable to all provinces on an equitable basis. Ensure that the water and sanitation operating grant be revisited so that it can be maintained until all backlogs are eradicated. Ensure that proper research be conducted to ascertain how the taxi industry can be included in the public transport system. Ensure that capacity building to local government is expanded. Ensure that demarcation-related matters be dealt with in a more effective manner. Ensure that research is conducted to ascertain how the current situation of non-registered foreigners currently residing in the country that strains available resources can be dealt with best. Ensure that proper oversight is conducted over service delivery providers who are contracted to provide infrastructure. The permanent delegates representing the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces are mandated to negotiate on the basis of the above proposal. Do you have anything to say to all the issues that are raised?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think I have briefed the committee on how the fuel levy was started, so I would skip that one. On the water operating subsidy is just to maintain existing water schemes, and it doesn't address the issue around backlogs. A lot of the backlogs, parts of it, is being addressed through the municipal infrastructure grant there. On the taxi industry, in any case, there is a public transport strategy that is now being finalized, and part of this would be taken on there. I spoke about capacity building there, how we need to streamline that. On the demarcation, it's important. This one is important. I think Mr. Sogoni, in his mandates, there's also this matter that actually comes in, and in the Gauteng case, it's got to do with it needs to be streamlined so that provinces are not left worse off, actually, on this. Now, we wanted to, when the committee was considering was it the municipal fiscal powers and functions legislation, we wanted to put in something there that deals with the regulation of budgets in the case of where there's disputes on these boundaries there. We were a bit unsuccessful there. The point here is whenever these boundaries are going to change, given the time lag that it takes to finalize the legislation around it, it will forever take a year later to implement due to the nature of our processes. They're on the financial side. It will forever take a year later. But the point I suppose that Mpumalanga is raising is around Mutse in this case. And Mutse currently is out of the debate. And that is out of my control. So the demarcation board or government will have to think about how it deals with that there. Ensure that research is conducted to assess how the current situation of non-registered foreigners. I think it has got to do with particularly provinces like Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and to some extent the Free State, where you've got bordering countries and where they come into the country. How do you take, because those people coming into the country put some kind of a pressure on the resources of the country. I think it would be difficult to track this, given that the way in which we collect our censuses and the way in which we deliver some of the services, that it would be difficult. But it is something that should be noted, because the Premier, I think, or the former Premier of Limpopo, raised this matter as well at the PCC. So we are aware of it, and we would be looking into it there. Ensure that proper oversight is conducted over service providers who are contracted to provide infrastructure in communities. This is an implementation issue. This is an issue that I've raised with the committee at some point as well. So from our side, we can assist with it up to a point as a committee to ensure that this happens. But we can assist as far as we can on it. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
PLG. Anything? Fine. You don't even want to say anything on demarcation.
Not much. I think on demarcation issue, are still engaging. I think with, the issue of moot is not quite an easy issue, but I think the minister is on course in relation of dealing with that one. And I agree with Kenneth to say this issue, obviously, it just depends on the timelines. And at whatever point you finalize it, obviously, sometimes you finalize it right in the middle of the financial year. So how we deal with that, I think it's the biggest challenge that we're faced with. I think the issue of, again, the issue of oversight, I agree with you entirely. As I was listening to it, I'm saying, but that is supposed to be the responsibility, and I think that needs to really be something else. I think from where we're sitting, also we're pushing municipalities to say contract management and oversight is quite very important from the administration side to say, you can't award a contract and forget about it. You need to really be in a position to follow it through. And then I think, again, agreeing with Treasurer on expanding of capacity building to local government. Obviously, in the course of looking at how we streamline, I think some time ago there was a suggestion that we also, as we consolidate MIG, why don't we consolidate all the capacity building grants? So I think maybe in the debate we'll try and look in terms of how we deal with some of those particular areas so that we have a situation that then begins to be more expansive in dealing with matters of capacity building to local government. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just to continue or to add to my colleague in terms of capacity building, it's well and good that we're actually expanding that initiative, but I think it's also critical that as a government we continue ensuring that there is sustainability, because as we expand the support, we need to be imparting those skills to somebody in the municipalities. So to ensure the sustainability within the municipal sphere, we need to ensure the filling of vacancies and so on, so that the skills can be imparted to warm bodies. Thank you, Chair.
You know, you're opening a can of worms when you're talking about filling vacancies, but it's fine. Right, Mpumalanga, there's nobody here from Mpumalanga. Right. North Cap. The aim of the bill, we know that. On the 18th, Honorable Chairman briefed the Portfolio Committee on Finance on the bill. On the 25th, the committee said to consider and resolve that one. The conditional grant of the province needs to be appropriately adjusted because of the two former cross-border municipalities, Galagadi and Phukwane, that have incorporated into the province. Due cognizance should be taken of the vastness and the rural nature of the province to ensure a greater percentage of equitable share irrespective of the formula being used. And from the briefing and consideration, the following was resolved to support the bill. Committee confers on permanent delegates to participate in the deliberation of the negotiating mandate and support the bill. Anything on the two issues? Conditional grant to be appropriately adjusted, and of course the vastness. I think this is an old debate, especially for the Northern Cape. It comes in all the time. Course it back.
Are you suggesting that the Northern Cape is cutting and pasting, Honorable Chair? Yeah. No, on the conditional grants, I mean, all of the conditional grants are reorganized in terms of their data once we've sorted out the data of these cross-boundary municipalities. So what you would see is it would be a true reflection of that. On the equitable share, we are revisiting the entire equitable share formula. So we're not only looking at the equitable share formula itself, we're also looking at how we finance concurrent functions, for example, education, health, and social development. For example, there. But in the case of the Northern Cape, on a per capita basis, the equitable share actually gives more to the Northern Cape on a per capita basis than any other province there. I suppose that compensates them for the vastness of the province. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's it. No discussion?
None. Vescap, Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. The Western Cape supports, but they do wish to raise a couple of issues. Firstly, the public transport operation grant, a high-level engagement. They suggest that this should take place to include national, provincial departments of transport and national and provincial treasuries to find an interim and workable solution for the successful implementation of the grant framework. Also, that the City of Cape Town be involved in such an engagement in order that all three spheres find a joint solution based on our cooperative governance. Also, concerning the property rates grant on the funding of shortfalls that both national and provincial treasuries and the national provincial departments of public works meet to reconcile and agree to the rates amounts and further design a mechanism that will adequately address the funding shortfalls. Then there is very real concern about the hospital revitalization program, especially the funding pressures in 2010-11, which is not an additional amount as raised by the provincial treasury with national treasury. They're still awaiting a response. We know, It's also requested by the provincial treasury that the Department of Health also take up this matter with the National Department of Health. It's recommended that the hospital revitalization program funding be smoothed over, smoothed over the four-year period to alleviate the funding shortfall in 2010-2011. There's been a lot of adverse publicity just recently about the hospitals that are going to be built and then they're not going to be built, and tender processes have or have not been concerned, so we leave that there, but I think this matter needs to be dealt with urgently. Thank you.
They support on condition that you then deal with these concerns. Firstly, the first concern, second and third, Mr. Brown.
Thank you for supporting the bill. On the public transport operating grant, honourable member, you are right. And incidentally, in our engagements with the Department of Transport, we indicated that we need that kind of body, in each province, to be able to oversee the smooth running, basically of the bus subsidy system there, and also to include the cities where a lot of this is happening. What we hope to do is actually to incorporate quite a bit of this in the conditional grant framework itself, because we are still busy finalizing the framework itself there. So we are taking that into account. On the property rates grant, there's something funny happening on the grant, because spending on the grant is very low, actually across all provinces, which suggests that it looks like money is not the problem for now, but more the implementation of it. One gather that once the implementation of it is sorted out and then we can fully grasp the impact of the shortfall, then we can then address it now. But currently we don't see a problem in it there. My colleague here is responsible for the Western Cape's budget, Edgar Sishi, there. So if he didn't respond on this letter on the 11th, I'll have to talk to him about it. But he indicates he's already resolved this matter with the Treasury. Firstly, the allocation that we see in the bill already start to talk about the smoothening of that. But I must also say, you're talking about bad publicity. The province is also spending slowly on this grant, which is also another matter that we want to bring to your attention on it. But we are taking care of all of the issues that you've raised. Thank you.
I think on the issue of the property rate grant, if you remember, you once at some point, we engaged with Public Works, I think it's the one, because basically one of the key issues that made us to engage is that they're beginning to say municipalities are not coming up very clear with proper invoicing and so on and so on. I think we set a process there which after that, I think the biggest challenge was to say what happens to, you know, debts that happened before 1st of April of 2008. And that, I think, at that time, they were making a submission to Treasury to try and look in terms of the shortfall. But even though we're not sure in terms of how much, then that is the point. But what we actually proposed was that, you know, they said mechanism, because I think what is happening on this grant is that there are no mechanisms, obviously, in place to start dealing with the real issues, so that we can really be saying to the municipalities that just claim that you are owing us so much without invoicing, so that we're able to see if whether there is a case and pass. And we can't really keep on saying produce the invoices that are not coming. So, and I think we'll also begin to take it up again in continuation of our discussion to say, you know, the mechanism that should really be put in place to try and see if we cannot fast track some of this particular kind of spending on the ground.
I think, can I speak on behalf of the colleagues and say, DPLG, National Treasury, can you talk to Public Works? You remember the story they were giving us this very week on this thing. I mean, firstly, their report is not telling us how the money is performing. We know the money is underperforming. They were trying to be nice. My colleague here even had to say, Mr. Brown, if you remember, that National Treasury was a culprit again, because they were asking for more money when we know that that money is not performing. So I'm saying, can you please go back and have a brutal discussion about this matter? Because really, it is them that really, firstly, have not resolved the data issue. But secondly, they've also not resolved problems at municipalities themselves. And so clearly, until they've resolved those matters. And again, we got a better response from National Treasury than Public Works, if you remember, in respect of Mafikeng. Because they were like, not coming out clear about Mafikeng. And so we had to get a better response. I'm just saying, Mafikeng and the Northwest. And so clearly, can you please have a brutal discussion about this, reinforced by these concerns that are raised by municipalities, really. Colleagues on the Western Cape, any other matter? Well, the Western Cape seems to be right. We're coming back to the...
Just a small comment on what you have said. I think the other day, what DPLG is proposing is what was resolved that day, that there should be proper engagement, because precisely the issues that are being raised, Public Works did concede that there are problems. In fact, initially they had accused in their submission National Treasury for not meeting its obligations. But in their comment, and it was clear that they were saying that there are no clear, what you call, statements that are coming. There's no clear basis for National Treasury to pay. Where we resolve that this, there should be this engagement. Maybe what needs to be done so that we don't just say that there should be engagement. I think someone must drive this, must take the responsibility of driving or championing this thing so that there is a resolution. We don't say that there must be discussions, we come back, nobody knows who are supposed to convene the meetings and what. I just want that we should clarify that, and I see that you're pointing that DPLG must take that responsibility. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Let's come back then to the smartest province. The lions were beaten by the sharks. They're not smart at rugby. But no, they beat the other. The first match, they beat somebody. But all of a sudden, I think they were beaten by the Blues, the Bulls, and the Sharks.
I think that you're quite right, and we feel bad about it. But they are still playing much better than the Cheetahs. The Cheetahs have not won a single match since the beginning of the season. So, and the Bulls, Bulls are still helping, but I don't want to comment.
Open a nice can of work.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. I think that what Gauteng is saying is that the committee in its deliberations proposed the following. One, that subsidization of no-fee schools should include all needy schools without being determined by location of the schools. Otherwise, the proposal is that it must be extended beyond the 60, what you call it, percent now, that will be extended to. Two, systems must be put in place. Now we'll get to that, Chair. Two, systems must be put in place to ensure smooth transition with regards to provincial budgets of the reincorporation of Mirafong into Gauteng. Clearly, this issue from what you heard this morning has not been a resolved, because from all provinces you hear that the transferring of funds to the necessary province is not happening smoothly. And I know that during the briefing they raised this point very sharply. Three, expanded public works program should create sustainable employment, and skills acquisition programs should be implemented. Four, FIFA 2010 World Cup legacy projects should be extended to rural areas. So Gauteng is not selfish, not saying if what is in the parallel, so there's no 2010 match, doesn't mean that they should be deprived of the opportunities. It's very sympathetic. Thank you. Now, how things are supposed to be, Chairperson?
Thanks. On an office schools, I mean, we are moving it now to the 68% percentile there, but there's some work that the Department of Education is also doing is on the issue around the adequacy levels, because you're talking 800 rand, roughly about 820 or something rand per child. And the question, the big question is the 820 rand per child, number one, sufficient? That part needs to also to be resolved. But also, I think when I did the briefing, was the issue around the targeting of the learners. There, it is an important issue. If I heard you correctly, Honorable Sogoni, you were saying we must actually extend this to all schools. Then
not to all schools in the sense of 100% of schools, but in those areas. Because for now, I'm sure Trevor will be aware that the system that this no fee school is worked, I mean the formula that this was is used to identify the no fee schools is subject of discussion, and that is where the what they call the Gauteng says is a problem, have a problem with that formula. And in those areas where no fee school is supposed to cover those areas, it must be extended to those areas. Sure.
No thanks. I think that makes it a bit clear, because the area where I'm from, Annadale, it's regarded as a quintile 5 area, and yet if you look at the profile of the community, actually it should be quintile 2 for that matter. So no, those are valid concerns. So I'm betting for my community as well, as I speak to you now. Yeah. I withdraw that statement. yeah. On the demarcation, Honorable Sogoni, if you can remember what the last demarcation was quite a bit widespread, because it covered quite a number of areas. In the case of Gauteng was the part of Mpumalanga, was incorporating part of northwest on the other side, Garankuwa area, and then it was giving away Kutsong. So there were so many moving targets. And I think even given those moving targets, we didn't do bad at all to manage that particular transition. I don't think with the incorporation of Mirafong that we would encounter the similar problems that we encountered the last time there. But what I need to say, and it's good DPLG is here, we need to get the demarcation board also to start to realize that we cannot be just changing these boundaries the way we've been changing them all along, because it has got serious implications for provinces and for service delivery. So it is something that we will also on a continuous basis engage them with. On the third point, you were here when they were trying to explain full-time equivalent employment in the expanded public works kind of role. They were struggling actually to explain. But yes. What they didn't possibly explain thoroughly was there are some sectors, if you really target them well, you may actually generate sustainable jobs. Let me give you an example. On the school side, right, if you talk school maintenance, for example, right, if you devolve your education budgets for maintenance right up to school level, and you give the money to the school and say, maintain this, electricians, plumbers, and all of that within the community can be in a position to, on a very consistent basis, get quite a bit of employment on a continuous basis. If one thinks about even the development of sports facilities within schools, right, it's not only laying the grass, it's actually maintaining that grass over a period of time, cutting it and all of that. Those are opportunities that could be created, for that matter, on a long-term basis. I don't know whether you've seen the newspaper, was it Monday, where the city of Joburg terminated certain contracts of grass cutters. And it lost, I mean, I think it was 60-something contracts, but it impacted on 1,000 workers. And it impacted on 10,000 people, if you take the households actually into account. Now, those are the kinds of areas where even municipalities, if they come in, they can really create sustainable jobs, because grass grows every time. You need to. So there are those avenues where we need to look into, so that we create, even if we create the small interim jobs, but we need to focus on the ones where we can create sustainable jobs. On the legacy projects and extending it to rural communities, the DG of Sports briefly spoke about the issue around sports and rural development, and how actually the two needs to be brought together there, because they were complaining that sports is in MIG, and MIG doesn't take full account of sports, and hence all of that. So what we've proposed to them, and it goes beyond this, what Gauteng is saying, is not only for 2010. There needs to be a general policy that rolls out infrastructure for sports in rural areas. So that is over and above what you are then saying. Yeah. But thank you for supporting the borough for the moment.
Some of the challenges that we have, and these are things that we need to crack as a matter of agency. Department of Sport has not been participating in planning with municipalities. And then you don't expect a municipality that doesn't have support from the national department or provincial department that deals with the sports and recreation issues to also engage the IDP, so that the IDP must reflect also the sports facilities. Now, the Department of Sports has not been there. So this year we said from October we are going to run the shows where we come sit down with the municipalities. They present their plan in terms of, with regard to infrastructure, what are you going to do over the next 3 years, and what are you going to do to achieve 2014 universal access, looking at all the areas, all the sectors. We invited all the sectors. Sports was not there. So this is a serious issue. Now, obviously, some people want to think in a way of trying to parachute things for municipalities. Because even if we say sports, go and do this thing, of which they did in the past, but today those things are white elephants. Because you want a situation where a municipality, through its engagement with the community, then come up with this thing, but with the support of the sector. Now this is something that has been taking. And it's something, Chair, through this planning session that we just finished last week, municipalities were saying, when we invite these people, they send junior people, and we don't even know what they are doing. And that includes also Department of Transport. Because the provincial infrastructure, which is going to provinces, but is the infrastructure that is, at the end, going to be spent in the municipal spaces. So we were saying, no, why don't we get to think this thing in a coordinated way? But the Department of Transport was not there. And this is a serious challenge. But as DPLG now, we realize that we definitely go and try to deal with these issues, particularly with the matter of the public works, because we feel we need to start coordinating all these people to start doing this thing. In fact, we propose, Chair, that we are going to pilot some municipalities where we are going to have district infrastructure development forums, so that whoever is going to invest money in that district space must come through that forum, which is now led by the district with its local municipalities, so that they must also know what is going to happen also from everybody in the country. So we're going to pilot that, Chair, and I think it's going to get everybody into these things.
Okay. Colleagues, that was Mr. Porter.
Yes.
That's Western Cape, eh? No, that was Gauteng. Okay. Mr. Porter?
Yes, it's not specifically about Gauteng, but it's about this cross-border municipalities. You know, Jay, this is a very sensitive issue, but since last, that I'm talking about Limpopo, the Bosbok Ridge area, going to Mpumalanga and Groblersdal, Motsi, coming to Limpopo. You know, Chair, the thing was starting stabilized. And suddenly, this raised up again. You know, I don't know how we will handle it. But as I say, there was not a quick transfer, because certain departments was transferred, other was not transferred, and was hanging there. Certain ones was responsible for hospitals, other was only responsible for the salaries and that type of thing. But yet, there's an issue what will still now, and I think that will not go down easily in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Because every time when the starting settling, a group of communities and like Mutsi area, I must be honest to say that I working in that area, that is Groblersdal and Marble Hall, the white communities, who I say they are not happy with in Limpopo. And then they used other people to put up the flame to say we don't want them. And that type of issue creates a real problem, you know. From 1994, 1995, 96, were the first local government elections. Groblersdal, Marble Hall, Mutsi was not going for local government elections, the first elections. They only go very, very later, because there was a moratorium placed on that area, because they, between the two provinces and Mpumalanga, who said, no, we will not have local government elections there. You know, that is why I'm saying, Chair, this thing must be handled very great. If you go to Bosbok Ridge, certain parts of the Bosbok Ridge also said now, we want to come back to Limpopo. So I don't know how will departments, public, local government and treasury and everyone who's involved with these things resolve the issue. I'm talking especially now that two areas in Limpopo who are affected, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and that is the issue what is actually very, very sensitive in that regard, Chair.
No, I think whilst I agree with what you are saying, Mr. Potter, there's a small problem, though. And that problem is exactly what you said. If somebody is not happy, they then decide to agitate everybody. And this is what you see in PE on the BRT thing. Somebody was happy when he was in the employ of the municipality. Now when he is disciplined for whatever, dismissed, he goes out and mobilizes people, and therefore everybody is against this thing. And so whilst it is sensitive, it is handled appropriately according to the law. But then the problem is that you don't satisfy everybody. And so if somebody has this thing about this whole thing, they would then go out and start mobilizing and mobilizing and mobilizing. In fact, just come to think of it, you can even spend 20 years on that matter, because somebody would never be happy about these things. But I think what is very critical is for us, from the point of view of I think it's a good lesson for committees of parliament and departments, just to ensure that this thing called popular or public participation does take place. In a manner, firstly, you don't have to take 14 months to do public hearings and so on, but find a way of ensuring that you spread as much as you can. just to minimize a situation where even somebody might take you to court, just to ensure that at least a widespread area is covered in terms of those discussions, so that even your records would then be able to say. But also don't minimize stakeholders, because that's part of the problem. If some stakeholders are minimized and so on and so on, it does create problems. Madam Robinson?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a comment in response to what was said by the DPLG. Comment was made that juniors go to the meeting and they don't really know what's going on. Now, I just think we need to look at how people are prepared when they go to meetings. We can't just abrogate responsibility and say, you go off to the meeting and then, you know, nothing happens. I think it's the responsibility of those senior people. They can't necessarily be sitting in endless meetings all the time and going all over the country, because then things don't happen back at headquarters. But I think people need to be briefed. They need to know what they're going there for and what the outcome should be, so that we actually say a meeting is not just a place where you go to sleep or where you go and have a nice cup of tea before and afterwards. I think this is often what happens. So there needs to be commitment and proper training before people go. They must know what they're going to do. And then we will create a greater sense of urgency and also a better work ethic. And I think this applies to all departments. It's easy just to say, oh, they're juniors, they don't know what they're doing. They should know, otherwise they shouldn't have been appointed, or they should have been trained properly in an induction program.
In relation to the demarcation issues, the sad part of it is that the monies don't move. And I think we do need to make a follow-up about this, because people remain suffering about the monies that were allocated to them. And on the issue of the DPLGs and the junior staff that are sent to meetings, I'm worried about our report. Yeah, I think I'll have to go back and discuss it to KZN. When there are no comments, and yet to get a report which is long somewhere with complaints. Pardon? I've got a report here which was saying taking legitimate, but I need to go back to
and
them.
Let's not discuss it.
Yes, I'll go back to them and discuss this, because it says the.
Alright, no, that's fine, madam. Alright. Then let's say to DPLG again, in terms of what you were saying of the IDPs, we did say it's a pity you were not here when we were discussing with Public Works. It's a pity you really missed that, because you were you here? You see, because what we want to say is that, you know, this incentive to create jobs, EPWP, is good and fine. But what we are worried about ourselves is that I'm not sure what informs them saying that they're targeting 45 municipalities. That's the one thing. So we've said they must have a discussion with National Treasury and yourselves. Because, for instance, looking at what they presented to us, we're saying Nelson Mandela should not be targeted to be incentivized. But Kaka, Du, Ukahlamba, and all the poor, Alfred Nzo, etc., should be targeted. They must be targeted. So that as this starts to, because what I was using the report of the Auditor General of saying, in this country, we've got 125 low-capacity municipalities, which really should be targeted immediately instead of the medium-capacity, high-capacity, and metros. So that you are already saying, therefore, to those municipalities, at least we recognize the fact that you don't have a revenue base. For the first time, therefore, giving you an incentive to start working on these things. I mean, we were raising your mushawing, etc., as municipalities. And what we do want to raise, therefore, is part of the big problem is that they are also targeting to give this money to provincial departments. Again, it's a matter that needs further engagement. what we said to them, they should just keep this money for now, and especially the one for provinces. Or you can take the money earmarked for provinces to municipalities, because they still are 129. In fact, you can increase the 49 45 they were targeting. And just say, almost all the rural. Because part of the big problem is that ordinarily, they were also targeting those municipalities that were getting MIG. So let's just say all the rural municipalities are packaged in such a manner that they are given this incentive to ensure that they're given this money to create these EPWP jobs. But then the other big issue is, amongst the targeted structures are NGOs. Again, we were saying, yeah, no, but NGOs are problematic. Because all the jobs, as you were saying, Bro, must be done on the ground in municipal space. And so it means everything must be done in terms of an IDP. Now, there's always this tension between NGOs and municipalities. Precisely because NGOs do not participate in IDP, these things. But then if your NGOs know that they would be getting money elsewhere, they surely would not even be interested in participating. But they would then parachute projects in this municipality space. And so we say we would want to see limited involvement. Rather, NGOs must participate in the fora, but should not come with funding to the discussion. You see? And so if government is therefore targeting NGOs and so on, again, to be doing these things, I mean, there's this same problem insofar as the NDA is concerned. Because NDA targets these NGOs, CBOs, and so on, who unfortunately do not participate in IDP processes. Whilst we are trying to hammer provincial and national departments to participate, but then we also encourage such structures as NGOs, our effort must maximize participation in IDP processes. But then secondly, each and every little cent must then be targeted to those priorities that are in the IDP. And so we do want to ask you to participate, look at this framework again, together with public works. You might, for instance, want to say, as Baden Basel, off some of the condition in the framework, that departments must send senior managers who have powers to take decisions. I think we've got to ensure that we put a condition that says anybody who sends junior is regarded as somebody who has just decided not to participate in this. I'm just saying it's a huge discussion. 4 something billion, that must not just go to waste. But let's find a way of ensuring, at least now we have an experience, a very good experience, that almost everybody is not taking IDPs seriously. Let's push them to IDP fora. The second.
Thank you, Chair. I think that my comment really is around the issue of IDP. We did raise it with the DG for local government that day. We have raised it with National Treasury. I think that I'm not sure whether there should not be it shouldn't be legislated somewhere that no participation in the IDPs, no development in the areas, or maybe I'm not sure if we can amend whether it's Intergovernmental Relations Act or something to ensure that, I mean, to force people to participate. Because people, this issue of participation by departments, I think it has been, we have heard about it over and over again, but still departments do not participate. I think that we need to find ways of ensuring that, in fact, maybe it can be done here in the Division of Revenue. For instance, Division of Revenue does indicate the process of preparation for infrastructure for the following year. I think that we can't amend this year, but in the next one, there should be that clause that forces people to participate in the ICTs. I mean, I can't forget where in KZN, I don't know if it was in Satu's or what, when they said that, no, this department donated the school, this department donated this thing. Because they thought that it's a donation, because these people don't participate in the ITPs. They come from somewhere, and that's put up a school or this kind of infrastructure. Yet, each department has a responsibility in each community. So,
all right. Now, over to you guys. Now, you've got a feedback to do. Who's going to lead, Mr. Brown, DPLG?
Is raising her hand, so she's ahead of
me. Okay. Well, you're getting the privilege because, yes, you are the lady in the delegation.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to recap in terms of the actual issues, why we are here. Obviously, we have the DORA bill, and there is a clause in the DORA bill, which suggests that transfers of the MIG Cities Grant or the Cities Grant for MIG should go through the DPLG vote, but the monitoring and reporting should be done to National Treasury. And from the view of DPLG, this is contrary to the mandate of Vote 29 and the duties of the National Transferring Officer in the case of DPLG. And specifically, we are referring to Section 9.1 and 2 in the DORA bill. So what happened then, after our presentation last week, we were then, the Chair referred us back to have an engagement with the National Treasury, and we were joined by DWAF. And DWAF actually had the same challenges with regards to their sector role, particularly around reporting as well. And what came out, we had a robust engagement, and what came out of the... Sorry? So you have been briefed. Okay. So we had a robust discussion around this matter, and what actually, there were some challenges around the interpretation, which I think that is why we actually went back. And there was a time when National Treasury as a department also had some challenges in interpreting the bill. So what we then agreed on in the meeting was that as DPLG, we would write the proposals in terms of these are the changes that we are proposing to the bill. And what National Treasury alluded to in that meeting was that we cannot change the bill, as the Chair indicated, that we would need to call back the National Assembly. So in light of that, what they then alluded to was that there was the possibility of putting clarity. If there were any ambiguities, we can put the clarity in the framework, in the city's framework. So what we then did, we went back and we put some inputs into the mixed cities framework and sent it through to National Treasury for their comments, so that when we come here, we are all singing from the same hymn book. So we then asked for a response from them, and I would rather just read, I quote, what the response was from National Treasury with regards to our input. Okay. So in essence, what they then responded to was that they, as far as they are concerned, there are no conflicts in the bill. Oh, below. Thank you, sir. What they then said, I really want to read what is here. It says, we agree that the clauses are not saying municipalities can't submit reports directly to DPLG. That is our primary concern, that
the DPLG, because the funds will be flowing through the DPLG vote, we need to align to the conditions in terms of if funds flow through our our vote, the reporting needs to come through to DPLG. So they are saying that the clause, we agree that the clauses are not saying municipalities can't submit reports directly to DPLG, and if they are perceived to be saying so, we need to clarify that in the framework. So basically this is the proposal that we made in the meeting, and they've given us a submission in writing to say, to clarify what is in the framework, we should sit together and actually clarify the issue in the framework. So I think as DPLG, with regards to that proposal, we are comfortable with actually ensuring that our sentiments are captured and clarified in the proposal, in the framework, to ensure that reporting from municipalities also flows through us. I'm going to give my colleagues an opportunity to further comment, because there are further challenges that we are experiencing from the metros themselves.
Yeah, I think I just want to add in terms of Fortunate was saying, obviously, Chair, when we approach the discussion after this meeting, we understood what the committee was saying very well, that we do not want to come to a situation where we have to get to the National Assembly again and whatever. So for us, we understood that. Then what we were going to do is that if we go and live with different interpretations that the Act is was providing, it was going to be a difficult thing. Now, when we were in a meeting, it was clear that there were different interpretations, also within Treasury itself. Because some officials were saying, no, this clause was crafted specifically to restrict DPLG to receive the report. And some were saying, no, but this is not saying that. So we then said, no, it's fine. Let's clarify this, any confusion that may arise in the framework, because the framework is part of the Act. And we also said we must also issue a joint circular. Because what we were saying to Treasury, we were saying some metros are already indicated in different forums that we are no longer going to report to DPLG, but we will get funds from DPLG, which obviously doesn't make sense. So, and I think that's the spirit in which we need to take this matter forward. And I think we are agreeing with Treasury. We have already put our proposals in terms of how the framework should look like, so that we don't need to have really the bill that can be interpreted in a different way, because otherwise we won't be able to implement it.
Looks like we agree. It's a good thing I wasn't at the meeting. There you see, we agree. No, we will fix one or two things in the framework to make it clear, so that these things cannot be unambiguously interpreted. But Honorable Chair, I want to put, and members, I want to put this on record, because it is a bit of a concern. Firstly, and it is important, we had a rigorous process in when we crafted this bill. Departments give input, we consider some of the inputs, and then in some cases we don't. We try and give explanations why not, and all of that. Then we take it to the Cabinet Committee. The Cabinet Committee approves the bill and then submits it to Cabinet. And when it approves it, it still gives politicians, the ministers, a further opportunity to comment on it. Then it gets to Cabinet. Cabinet approves it. Now, once Cabinet approves it, my understanding is it becomes a government bill. All right? And when it becomes a government bill, then departments actually need to then step back. Some battles they have won, some battles they have lost in this. And what our minister raised was particularly a concern around it. And he says this is a breach of trust, because if the ministers were present and approved the bill, how can a minister in a process like this come and request, come and challenge the bill further? So it is something that we as government will have to work on. All right. In many cases, we have lost our own battles in other legislation, and we find other ways to try and address some of these things, but not in the way that we have addressed it here. What we may want to do for this bill, I think with the FAPLA part of it starts to amendment of money bill, is taking quite a bit of issues around the Division of Revenue Act into account. So in any case, what's going to have to happen from the Treasury perspective moving forward is to say, what does that legislation say? How do we reorganize the Division of Revenue bill moving forward? Which by implication says actually our consultation process on the bill will have to start around as early as June for that matter, so that we try and iron out each and every issue around the bill quite in detail, so that we avoid having this even up to a point where we need to submit it to cabinet, so that we still give ample time for ministers to be able to engage on it and actually give comments. I thought I must just raise this matter. On the reporting side, we will have to find a way of dealing with it in the framework, and I think I agree with my colleagues here from TPLG. We will just have to find a way of dealing with it. I will look myself into the proposals that are put forward so that we can clarify it quite in detail. In fact, what may help is if they say they forwarded proposals, I'll look at them, but if they give me the exact wording that says, Kenneth, it must read this, and then we can talk around some of it. And fortunately, she misses me if I'm not in the meetings, Honorable Chair. because last year, also on the bill, sometimes the engagements are so robust that people talk to each other, but they don't communicate to each other. So if you allow people and you say, actually, let this person talk, and then you note what this person is saying and you want to clarify it, and then you ask the other person to say, you talk, you find that actually the people are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. It is just that they are using different words. Yes, all the time. So I think we will have to find a way of, even when we engage, how we deal with it there. But, I mean, thanks for the spirit in which we have cooperated, actually, on it. We will fix whatever is outstanding out of it. And I think we should really move forward with this thing. Thanks.
I can imagine that that discussion was robust. That is good as well that Mr. Brown was not there, because he wants to open now the whole discussion again. With the report is in front of us, there's an agreement. Now, I'm not sure what we're trying to do now. That agreement must be followed. That's to ensure that agreement is followed. But just in following that agreement, I think that people must ensure that we don't deviate from 9.2, which really says in those responsibilities, I mean, when these departments exercise those responsibilities, A, they are exercised in a manner that does not duplicate responsibilities, 2, or impose any undue administrative burdens on provinces, especially with municipalities. They complain about these reporting lines and what most of the time spent on reporting rather than instead of service delivery. So I think that as long as this discussion covers this area, sure.
Then the big issue
that we must come back to, colleagues, is now just listening to the report itself. You know, it tells you a story. And that story is, we are forever talking integration. But the lady, as she was reporting, she was talking them and us. She says, as DPLG, she says, National Treasury said. She said, and the intention of this meeting was to say, go back and come back and report and say, we are all saying. No, no, I'm saying this is why. Because this integration thing is always forever missing. This thing is not about DPLG, National Treasury Draft. It's all about all of us. That's the bottom line. And so, and this is why we were saying, maybe there's something we missed in what we were doing. And this is why we're saying, just go take a step backward. Come back and say, all of us are saying the following. We agree on this thing. Whether it's interpretation or not, but all of us are confused by this interpretation. All of us, yeah. And this is exactly the intention and the spirit. I'm saying, that's part of the big issue. The second one, which is much more bigger, if your cabinet, again, has said and approved, how do we then deal with these things? Again, it tells us a story about cabinet engagement, which we're not really interested in that discussion, but would want to see every input made at that level, so that when this thing comes to us, we take it that all of you have agreed at all levels. And so, all of those matters for us must be clarified there. And the reason why we throw these things back to you, I think should be an indictment, really. Because it says, at particular stages, I mean, we sometimes sit at the budget forum. I do sit there myself. And these things are done. And these questions are not raised. And come this period, these things are raised. I always just wonder. Sometimes I sit there deliberately and keep quiet, and sometimes I raise my view and objection myself. But the stakeholders just keep quiet, all of them. In the very last cabinet, the budget councillor was sitting there when the budget forum, all of these things were done. So I'm just saying, I think there is a big indictment really on government, if you like, where you don't see, whilst they talk integration, they don't even practice IGP. And this is the big issue, madam. And so I'm saying, I think in the context of what then Mr. Sokone was saying, go and clarify these things in the framework. I think this must be the last time that we do that. We've learned so many lessons, I think, in the period, 15 years. Can we, and I think you are right, you don't even need the money amendment bill procedure to start to say these things. We are clear ourselves, we could have amended in terms of the division of revenue. But we're always trying to give space to yourselves. And so if it means start talking about these things today, going forward. So that when we say go back and resolve your matters, we don't want to see a report that says, if you come and report to us, you said we had met, discussion was robust, these are the issues we all agree on, these are the issues we disagree on, and we've set a particular process to deal with those matters. I would prefer that kind of reporting next time. And so I think, therefore, in the context of what my colleague is saying, clarify, therefore, the framework. This thing is not about your own egos, DPLG, your ego of National Treasury, draft, and whoever. It's about how do we harness all the energy in the departments, men and women that are there, to be able to do these things for the communities out there. Broho, do you want to disagree?
No.
All right, Broho and William.
In 2007, when we were sitting in East London, Garden Court Hotel, this is what you said. And following that meeting, we came back with Treasury. We said, now we need to start engagement in time. So, and Mr. Brown is right, we started this thing in June. But the issues of the cities popped out in December, very late. And then the last meeting that we had with Treasury was the first week of February. And the budget was going to be the second week. And then in that meeting, we agreed and we were all knowing what was going to be in the bill. But we were surprised after the bill has been published with that clause, because it was not there. We can even give you the last document that we had. That clause was not there. And I think Mr. Brown is not...
Chair, I'm sorry now. Chair, we're starting now a negotiating process between departments. And I think you make the ruling. They must come and they must give us what they decided on. To come now and say, but that was happening there, that was happening there. And I don't... This place is the forum to negotiating that. They must come with the final result to us next Thursday, that we see what is actually, because those committee had to do oversight, and we must see what is actually in place. Thank you, Chair.
William,
take
us back.
Yeah, I'm not taking you back. I'm just expanding on one of the proposals that was not really touched on, which is an issue.
No, you will have to deal with that in your meeting.
Okay,
it is right. Don't expand on the proposals now.
Okay.
Go back and expand on those proposals. We will be dealing with the final mandate on the 12th. Come back again. Resolve all of those things. If you have not resolved, we will decide ourselves what to do. Don't give us the detail of the proposals. Go back, talk to those people, and so Goni was saying somebody had not walked out of the meeting. We want to hear also such stories that so-and-so, because it was so robust, could not take the heat. So-and-so has this blue eye, precisely because it was so brutal. That's the mandate. Go back, deal with everything that is kind of hanging in the context of what we've said. Don't tamper with what your cabinet and the cabinet has approved. Look at how best do we then agree in the context of what the cabinet has approved. And so what is it therefore that we tighten up in the framework that ensures that this thing is what we want? Brown, we don't want to engage this thing anymore.
I think I've said we have found each other, Honorable Chair. I think my the point that I made may have derailed us a bit. I think we have found each other. It is just on the framework that you have submitted that we must just finalize. So in terms of the bill and all of that, I think we are fine. It is just we may agree on the framework actually as we walk out here and just let you know that we don't have to come back again.
No, that's fine. Okay. You know what you must then do? Just write me a letter then for the final mandate that says we've agreed on all of these things, even if you're not here. But then you surely must be here, unfortunately.
No, so,
that's fine.
I know that he was disagreeing with
my own part of people coming here. Now, I want some little direction now. I've got a two-pager that we can finish in 2 seconds. Or do we want just to stretch? It is the Western Cape Inherited Debt Relief Bill. We can just do for about 2 or 5 minutes. Okay. Over to you, Mr. Brown. Okay.
Chief, I propose on that one, Chief, that we use the last page, not going through the whole issue, because there's an issue was coming before 1994. There's an old regime story. So I think the last page, the back page here, is actually the issues what have to be raised and yet to finalize by the committee in regarding of the process. And not going through the whole history of the whole issue.
Okay, over to you.
I think the members have got it. You can just read it from 7 and 8.
Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I realized earlier I didn't introduce myself when I started speaking. My name is Edgar Sishi from National Treasury. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the last page, we're going to be dealing just in terms of slide 7 and slide 8. Really, as outlined in terms of the purpose of the bill, as the Honourable Member said earlier, a lot of the expenditure is over expenditure or unauthorised expenditure from both pre-1994 and also, in fact, the bulk of it is during the 1995-96 transition period, when the Cape province was split into four provinces, the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, the Northwest, and Western Cape. And effectively what happened was that two institutions, the Cape Provincial Administration, as well as the House of Representatives, most of the expenditure there was constituted by the old Department of Education and Culture, had spending on their books, which was inherited by the Western Cape province. Now, in 1998, a bill was passed, the Inherited Debt Relief, which passed, which cleared the debts of other provinces, but not of the Western Cape. So the purpose of the bill is to effectively conclude the process that was begun by the 1998 Inherited Debt Relief Bill. And what it will effectively do is to clear the accounts, the paymaster general accounts, which currently reflect unauthorized expenditure against the province, even though none of the expenditure was actually incurred by the province itself. It's simply an old regional structure. Finally, on slide 8, in terms of the process for the debt relief, what will happen is, because there is unauthorized expenditure, it is important to point out that there are no cash flow implications because the money was spent a very long time ago. This is simply a matter of clearing the accounts, and it will be done through a journal entry, through journal entries that will be affected by the Office of the Accountant General and National Treasury, from one set of government accounts to another set of government accounts. That's merely what it is. The province will then be able to reflect that in their books as accounts cleared. This is important, of course, because of provisions in the PFMA with respect to unauthorized expenditure being against the charge of a revenue against the charge of the revenue fund in future financial years. But given the fact that this is expenditure not incurred by the province and that it can be cleared in quite a straightforward manner without cash flow implications, it is an excellent opportunity to make the clearing now before the start of the 2009-10 financial year. There will be no impact on general government debt. The paymaster general accounts are part of government's consolidated government accounts. In other words, the outstanding balances for the Cape Provincial Administration is about $799.4 million. And for the former House of Representatives is $112.7 million, can be cleared as part of an outstanding transfer amount. And I've already made the point about the reflection of the expenditure, which makes it look as though the province incurred unauthorized expenditure, when in fact it wasn't the province that incurred it. It was merely the books that got moved forward as the new structure was established. It's also important to note, Chair, that the balances in the accounts have remained absolutely constant since the 31st of January 1996. In other words, there's been no expenditure incurred by any post-95-96 structures on those particular accounts, and therefore there are no interest implications as these are paymaster general accounts. I think I will end there, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Before we agree, discussions, comments, questions and clarities, Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make a comment that this has been a long and a tedious task. It's been going on with lots of discussion between the Western Cape Provincial Treasury and National Treasury, and I think it would be a great way to start a new term with all of this sorted out and discussed, and that, you know, it's the earnest wish of the Western Cape that we deal with this matter and say, yeah, and amen. Thank you.
Hey, any other view, Mr. Potter?
No, Chair, I propose that we agree fully with this and that we pass it.
Unanimous. Can Ms. Robinson make a statement on this one when we pass it, I think, on the 19th? Thank you very much. Now, is there a matter of life and death?
No,
I'm so happy to hear that. Then lastly, we're trying to ensure that lunch is served now at 12 o'clock. for everybody who needs lunch right here at the... No finger anymore. There's a good Samaritan who's paying for these things. I'm not sure. In the dining, yes. Right. And so, can we then adjourn until 12 o'clock lunch?
Just a matter of life and death. To congratulate the African National Congress on its performance on the by-elections of local government in the Western Cape. And demystify the myth of coke on coke and whatever you want to call it.
Okay. On that note, I think the mandates have been wonderful. We shall then deal with them on the 12th.
Except to inform the committee that Northwest mandate is on the way.
Well, Northwest is coming, don't worry.
You said the mandate was good, but actually it was the briefing by the members who was leading with the provinces in a way to say we agree fully.
And in fact, let's really commend you for that. Nothing. Because that was, I mean, the this thing really shows that you did a good briefing in terms of the division of revenue. You have become a specialist in terms of the division of revenue. Mr. Brown, when you need some specialist input, these are men and women that really would be very useful in terms of, I've lived with the division of revenue for a long time now. These men and women seem to be grasping the issues very well. On that note, let's stretch and have lunch at 12 then in the dining, hopefully. Urgent.